No, the only
Mallory and I have talked about this, and we want to instigate a thing where when people block us, like, you know, when you leave Amazon or like leave a subscription, they're always like, state why you left. Da, da, da. You have to do that when you block someone on Twitter, because I want to know what broke you.
The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry.
Get out of here with that. Sexism.
All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
Coach's Corner was kind of like my bathroom break.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. I mean, I'm having a lot of fun.
All right. Hi, and welcome to the Broadcast. I'm Mallory. I'm your host for this week, and I'm here with Georgia and Sam. And we're just going to talk about hockey and maybe some other things, depending on how off topic we get. All right. Anyway, there were some highs and lows on Canucks Twitter, mostly highs this week, actually, because cyberbullying takes a dub once again. Sam.
Oh, man. Obviously, our high and everyone else's high is Cody Severson. And Mr. Booth trolling the shit out of Paul Bissonnette and the podcast on the network that shall not be named. We literally said 2 weeks ago we weren't going to talk about them again. Or was that last week?
Yeah,
that
was last week. We said like 1 week ago.
And but also this is fine.
We were going to. But this is fine because honestly, them having like a mental breakdown.
So I want to tell you the chronology of this. It was Friday night and I don't know what I was doing, but I was on Twitter because I'm always on Twitter. And I get a DM from Cody, and all it is the screenshot of the first one, which I think was SoulCycle Forever.
And so
all he sends me is a screenshot, and they used my video, so now I'm trolling them. And so I literally sat there for the next half an hour just watching him change his username to troll them. And it was glorious. And it only got better the following day when BizNasty 2.0 or whatever decides to throw a tantrum about Mr. Booth trolling him on Saturday morning. So that was
very much an I'm not owned situation. I mean, if you're not like completely familiar with the entire thing, essentially like JT Miller scored in overtime. Cody posted a video of it and they just like posted the video on their account, and so it says like from so and so, such as from Barstool sucks, fuck Barstool, etc.
Dave Warner closes the fridge with his hips,
which that is such a Canucks Twitter deep dive. That is incredible.
Like, it was like very, it was like the action itself was like pretty funny, and like I will give it, that's pretty funny. But specifically what was funnier was the fact that they deleted their post they deleted it and then they reposted it with like a here's your replay one. And then people started replying and were like, hey, where's the video? Hey, why'd you change it? And then I think they deleted it and people started being like, hey, can we see that JT Miller goal, please?
Yes. Hey. That's exactly what happened. And then other people started doing it once they saw that Cody had been doing it. So other people who they had kind of stolen the clips from or whatever, or taken them, I don't really know, also started doing it, which is funny. And then the Vancouver Canucks had a tweet about the JT Miller goal. I don't know if it was the next day or at least 2 days later. That probably wasn't them poking fun at that situation, because that's not usually like them. But very much seemed like they were being trolls by saying, I think the tweet was literally like, have you guys seen this really nice goal? Which is basically what everyone was saying to Barstool after, or to the podcast's Twitter after, which is very funny. So we crown him King Cody of the Twitter.com.
It actually got better. I don't know if you saw. So not only did he respond to Mr. Booth like seriously on the Saturday morning and then get into fights with teenagers on Twitter for like several hours.
Oh yeah. For several hours, he was trying to fight teenagers and somebody was like, why are you fighting teenagers? And he was like, this person says they're 20, actually.
So he does that. And then on Sunday, he responded to some random unrelated tweet from someone about like the rise in virginity amongst men between 18 to 30.
It was not even the rise of virginity. The graph itself was like rise in men who have not like had sex with women.
Yes.
With women.
That's what it was. with women. Like that was an important like distinction because it was like actually like there's another thing that you can think of in this.
It was very specific. The graph was very specific. And he responded with something like, well, that's because they only pulled Mr. Booth and his followers. Mm-hmm. It's like, you are still tweeting about this unprovoked and unsolicited on Sunday. So yeah, I guess you're unbothered.
It really, Cody and Mr. Booth both went on our friend's podcast, Roxy Fever, where they discussed the kind of whole incident. And it's very funny. I recommend that you listen to it. Yeah, but it was one of those moments when you realize how glorious Canucks Twitter can be when we aren't yelling about ice time and bread and Sutter and the Canucks being generally just a dumpster fire. So yeah.
When we can all bond together to bully a retiree.
Exactly. Exactly.
A second high. We got a nice 5-star review, possibly my favorite review that we've ever gotten. And it starts with a much needed perspective. The broads are amazing. I just started the podcast and you had me at Spice Girls. As a male 43-year-old Anglican priest, I'm certainly not the target audience. Yet I'm on board with the humor blended with deep insight on both hockey and social and emotional insight. I'm so happy to hear truly informed voices within hockey culture. Chicklets out, broads in, down with toxic bro culture, and long live the broadscast. So the Reverend 77, wherever you are, thank you for that delightful review. And if anybody else wants to leave us really nice reviews like that, please go do that. Hit subscribe, 5 stars, you know the deal. We'll read it, we'll cry.
Okay, so on to, I was gonna say our hockey team, and then I was going to say our favorite hockey team, but that's not true on any accounts. We don't like them. So onto the Canucks, who are the bane of our existence. So PB's on long-term IR. I am suffering. How many centers do we have currently? 3?
We had
we're down to 1.
We had a period last night where we had not a single one of the opening roster centers on the ice because Bo Horvat left the game with an injury. He practiced today.
Oh, okay.
He practiced today, but like, oh man, we were down. So Beagle's injured, Sutter's injured, Petey's injured. But was that the game lifting kettlebells in the weight room? He was posting on Instagram. And then Bo got injured. So JT Miller is now playing center. And I think, what's his name? Tyler Gravac. And then also probably Adam Gaudette is the center right now. It's not great. As Francesco said, injuries.
Okay. I mean, he's going to come back soon, right? Like
he's coming back at the end of the month, I think.
Yeah. They put him on LTIR retroactively. So he was out like the first week of March. He only have to be out 10 games. I think they hit 10 games against the Jets tonight. Is it tonight? I don't.
Well, they also have the week off, right? So
yeah.
Which is like comes in handy for them to kind of get healthy. But yeah, I think the expectation is that he's coming back at the end of the month.
And he posted like a photo of himself on a scooter yesterday. So he can't be that hurt.
You can be very
it's his
hurt.
Wrist, right? It's supposed to be his wrist.
Yeah, I think so.
You are like the worst like men on like that are like, what are they doing? They don't want to have fun. They have to sit in the dark. Like dudes, like they literally
No, I want him to be on his scooter.
You're like, he can't be that injured.
He should totally be on his scooter.
My man could have a little cast.
I would
he could have both of his feet cast up and be on a scooter. It'd be fine.
Probably.
Anyways, hopefully he's back soon because they have like no players left.
Okay. I know that like scooters and stuff, like that's like the like bird app or whatever, all of the variations of that.
Did you guys watch last game?
Which game was the last game?
Game Sam is just Googling Spice Girls shit on the side.
Specifically, I'm Googling Spice Girls No Jerry.
Okay.
No, that game was bad.
Today is Wednesday. They played on Monday.
They played tonight. And they played.
Did they play on Monday? Was that the last game they played?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Because that was Canucks Pride Night, which I did watch, which I said, once again, me saying that I think because I am gay, I get a pass on saying things that are objectively not great, which was I sent a message to the group chat that said, have to watch this gay ass hockey game tonight. which I did mean pejoratively. And then
you
said making me watch this bad hockey team. I said making me watch the Canucks is homophobic, actually. I stand by that. If you watch that game, it was homophobia in action.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
I didn't even remember what the score was.
I don't remember what the score was. I just remember the Jets, like, really, it was just like poorly played.
It was 4-0. I think it was 4-0.
Yeah, they got shut out.
Was how it ended. Yeah, they got shut out. Adam Lowry scored 2 goals.
Yeah, I said that was for gay rights.
Yes.
Also, I said to Georgia, I said that it was because in the Skip the Dishes ad, he just randomly kisses
Brandon Tanev.
Brandon Tanev.
He had not seen this.
I had not seen that.
You hadn't seen that?
No. Anyway, I miss random things. So, yeah.
Well, it was like a very... People obviously were acting normal about that online when it happened.
Yeah, I can see that. No, the Canucks look tired. Obviously. They've played a lot of games, and now they're coming up to their break. But it sucked losing because the Jets are above them in the standings. So it's like a double loss when you're losing that, especially because the Jets have, I think it's like they have 5 games in hand against the Canucks right now. And so we're currently fighting for a playoff position with, so you love to see it. None of my statements are backed up by stats. Actually, no one has had a worse year.
Like, the thing about us, no stats, just vibes, is like, not because like we don't respect stats. Like, it's not like a situation where like one of those like hockey men who are like, oh, like stats are fake, like analytics. It's just like, I'm literally too stupid to know what like any of them mean.
Math is hard.
Like, I literally like look at like the graphs people put up and I'm just like,
yeah.
No colors.
The amount of times I've had to remember what Corsi means is ridiculous. It's hard.
No,
okay.
I literally like, I know I can do it if I wanted to expend the mental energy to look at it, but I look at numbers and my brain's just like, no. Like, I look at it, I'm just like, I want to exit out of this app. Like, I can't look at these numbers.
I feel like it's important that like we do respect analytics. It's just,
I just want
me.
Someone else to tell me what it means. Like, I respect that you can do the analytics and then tell me what they mean. I don't want to figure it out.
That is what Harmon is for.
Exactly.
Players who've had terrible statistical seasons. I'm pretty sure Quinn Hughes, at one point last week, he was having the worst statistical season of all defensemen in the NHL. And so let's just discuss Quinn Hughes, Mal. Let's discuss Quinn Hughes during the last game.
Oh, okay.
Did anything happen to him? Did he get dragged on Twitter at all by anyone?
Okay.
That was so
Quinn
funny.
Hughes is in his homophobic era. Anyway, so basically it was Pride Night, but like really half-assed Pride Night. So literally all they did was just have Pride tape. But I think it was like, they like posted some video of them coming out and Quinn was the only one I think that didn't have it. Which like, obviously it's either like superstition or whatever, or it turned out that apparently he just showed up late, which is also very funny. But the like bare minimum, he can't even reach that. So obviously everyone jumped at it to make fun of him because he's a very easy target and it's very, very funny. And I was talking to Georgia about how funny I think it would be if he had to like make some video about him actually like saying that he didn't hate gay people. Like, just imagining him just like basically as if he is being held hostage, like clearly like dead in the eyes, like reading off something behind the camera, like being like, I support the LGBT community in Vancouver and beyond. You're like, thanks so much, Quinn. Like, the comedy of him having to come back from being homophobic, incredible.
It would be really funny. Actually, the other thing that the Canucks did was play some terrible music. Was just playing like I Kissed a Girl, Dude Looks Like a Lady. Like,
she actually wasn't even like, it wasn't even like she like found like the any like gay artist. It wasn't, she was like, I'm gonna play Elton John. She was like, no, bare minimum. It's just very funny.
Like, so, just, I mean, just like Googled lyrics that have gay undertones or overtones to them.
I don't think she Googled anything. I think she just like was writing things down in a notebook, like on her way to work.
She's so bad at her job. Like, I, even before this, this is, I acknowledge this is really mean, but like literally for the last two seasons, DJ Baroness has been the bane of my existence. Like, the remixes are garbage. Playing Chelsea Dagger, garbage. And like, number one thing, the stupid fucking neon radio set that she has where they show her on the Jumbotron dancing every intermission break when you're at the game, and now they show them on Sportsnet. Stop. I don't want it. No one wants it. Stop it. So bad.
My favorite DM ever from Jason Botchford was, he's dating her.
Like, the worst.
After he publicly like had to come out and support her after she played Chelsea Dagger.
Oh, I think that being an arena DJ, like, that is a very unforgiving job. Like, you're not going to like get many fans that way. People are always going to be criticizing you, but like, I don't think she has any fans. I don't think she does even remotely a good job.
I have never seen a single person be like, hey, I love the Canucks in arena music. Like, no one. I've never seen anyone say that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so it's, the arena music is bad, and then it's also incredibly off color.
Yes.
All the time. Was it on like Mental Health Awareness Night? She was playing Where Is My Mind by the Pixies.
Yep. Yes.
It's a choice. It's a choice.
Anyway. She will not get her, she will not get fired, because in the wise words of Jason Botchford, he's dating her.
Are they still dating?
They're, you not said really. That I asked.
No, but you, someone corrected me and said that they aren't.
How? I asked like literally like 2 days ago.
Oh.
And you said yes. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. They went to Italy together. Very funny.
Okay.
How do you know this?
I know.
So basically, playoffs. Sam had some important things to say on Yahoo, so you can just regurgitate them here if you would like.
Oh yeah, Sam's just a sportscaster now. I turn on Twitter every morning and you're on a different thing. Like, okay.
This is, it's very funny, so- because my like active refusal to go on anything, it was like, and then you continually getting called by CBC.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on CBC all the time.
George's early morning CBC hits are my favorite thing.
Fucking like 6 a.m.
But the thing is, you say yes. Like, I got asked a few times for the 5:45, 6:45 a.m. thing. I was like, no. It's a no for me.
It's a no for me, dog. Yeah, no, I'm pathetic and can't say no to people. Remember, also, they call you and talk to you for like an hour.
I don't answer phone calls from numbers that I don't.
That's fair.
That's how I get everyone. Remember the time you had to do 3 CDC interviews in a row?
Yeah, and they were all just the same questions. So by the third one, I was killing it. Because they just asked me the same questions, but it was in Vancouver, Victoria, and Kamloops, or in Kelowna.
But yeah,
I hit the whole province in an hour.
Oh yeah, the playoffs. Yeah, okay, so I personally, as I've said, I don't want the Canucks to make the playoffs because I don't want them to, I don't really have like any trust in them pretending that they're not, like, if they make the playoffs, I don't have like a belief in them being like, oh, we're going the right direction, this is great now. So that's why I'm saying that I don't want them to make the playoffs, because this is not working. No, and like, you like basically squeezing into the playoffs does not mean this is working.
I love the report from Elliot Friedman that was like, the Canucks were taking calls on their UFAs, but because they won 8 games, they're now gonna like wait and see what happens with this run. And it's like, it's been 2 weeks since you said you wouldn't be competitive for 2 years. Like, how, like, listen, I am all for instant gratification. I totally understand the impulse, but I'm not running a multi-million dollar franchise.
But it's not even like they're playing that well. Like, that's the thing. They're winning, but as we've discussed before and everyone has discussed, like, they're not playing well. They're just happening to win.
Well, Demko's carrying them, right?
Well, and Demko's carrying them, which that's a whole other thing. But, like, if Bo Horvat is actually injured, which I'm assuming he's going to play because he, well, I don't know if he's playing tonight. I haven't looked.
He's taking warm-ups.
Okay, yeah. So he'll, yeah, okay. But if, like, they are basically a Thatcher Demko injury away from every single tire falling off of this team. Like, that is the only thing that's keeping them going.
Listen. I think when you are picking up the Leafs waiver wire castoffs, and these are players who can't make that team, which is admittedly a deeper, like a pretty good team, and you can plug them into your top six, what does that say about your roster?
BC's actually played well, to be fair. Though he has the most awkward, he's Cousin Greg on ice. I've made this clear. But Cousin Greg,
I don't like that because I like Cousin Greg.
No, but he looks like him, but he also like just has that awkward he looks persona. Like he looks you exactly
what I love
like him.
Is like how Cousin Greg has been all over the Dumois
Instagram stories and his dating habits.
He's so funny. No, but he also just like, he skates. He has a really weird center of gravity, so he kind of skates weird. But VC's been fine. But yeah, that is like concerning. I think my thing is, I think, like, I'm going to steal this from Jackson because I totally believe this, and this is what every Canucks fan should believe, because this is what we will do, is we are going to go down to the wire. And people, it's going to be to the point where people don't actually get fired because the Canucks, like, just missed the playoffs and nothing will change because that's who we are as a team and that's how the Canucks function. That's my belief. I think they're going to miss the playoffs because the games in hand thing is actually quite problematic. And I just don't see them being able to make those up. Mm-hmm. So, and I feel like Calgary will probably have a stronger push.
They lost the Sens tonight though. And they've lost like 3 games in a row or something, but.
Oh, maybe not then.
But yes, I do have more faith in them having a push.
But yeah, that's my belief. Wait, I'm honestly like dreading the off season and having to navigate every day and logging onto Twitter and being like, what the fuck's going on? Because the expansion draft is going to happen. And also we have to sign all these people and I have no faith.
Oh, I completely forgot about the expansion draft.
In Jim navigating that.
Well, contract negotiations for Petey, Hughes, and Demko. It's going to be so good.
Which is actually helpful because then we can't lose. Like, they don't have to get protected in the expansion draft, I believe. Right? But, yeah. Not looking forward to it. We'll see, though, like, with the trade deadline coming up, we'll see what happens. Probably nothing. But we'll see.
Okay. So, while Demko is playing like a god, another right wing goalie is in his flop era.
Carter Hart
is in his flop era.
He really is.
Honestly, he has been playing so poorly. Like,
Philly started off so good. Do you remember?
Philly Everyone started off like, so good.
Philly's and gonna then they... like dominate. And then
Jake Voracek bitched out that reporter, and Carter Hart admitted he liked Ted Cruz, and everything fell apart.
It really fell apart like when like Claude Giroux had to go in COVID protocol, but
yeah.
And then now they're getting booed off the ice.
Honestly, I don't really particularly think that like live sports, especially in an enclosed area like a hockey arena, should be happening, like the rink, but Philly fans being back to boo the Flyers off the ice, nature is healing.
Who is a scarier sports fan? Philly sports fan or Boston sports fan?
Philly.
I think Philly is a scarier sports fan. I think Boston people are scarier.
Okay, that's fair. No offense, Namita.
No, I think she would be happy about that. No, I think that like the Philly sports fans, they like tried to fight. He was a Sixers player because he came to an Eagles game and he was in the parking lot wearing a Washington football team jersey. So they like tried to fight their own basketball player.
You love to see it. Okay, yeah, that's fair. Philly sports fans, scary.
Whereas, yeah, I do think that you're more likely to like just like get your ass beat in the street in Boston. Okay. Like I'm more afraid, like I think that at like the Garden, like you're gonna get in a fight, but it's not gonna be sports related. You know?
Yeah, that's fair. Same as at Fenway. I want to go to Fenway just to watch what happens, not the actual game in the crowd.
I got food poisoning at Fenway.
It's unfortunate.
And I had to sit behind a pole. Horrible, horrible place. Drama happening in the NHL sphere, which is like more like the sense, okay, basically they had to cover their asses on something that happens all the time and no one is surprised, which was like a makeup call situation. A referee was caught on a hot mic saying that he just like felt like calling something against Nashville. I think it was it?
Yeah, it was Nashville was playing Detroit. And at the, I think it was the start of the second period. He was caught on a hot mic saying, I just really want to call a penalty against Nashville to like even the score from something else that happened. He, yeah, was caught on a hot mic saying that he wanted to even by calling a penalty, which is something that happens all the time to the point where it's just like a normal part of the sport at this point. Like it's the idea of the makeup call is just so well understood by everyone. But he was caught on a hot mic. And as Elliot Friedman reported like earlier today on Hockey Night in Canada or whatever the fuck it's called on a Wednesday, that they think that the reason why there is such a swift step in by the NHL is to do with sports betting, gambling, and the relationship between that, because that's obviously where sports is moving in the future and having to have this perception of unfair officiating happening doesn't look great for sports betting. But I don't really know. I think it was just the whole thing was dumb and it was just an easy thing because Tim Peel's retiring anyway. So the NHL could just.
I thought the discussion around it this morning when the news came out that they were not putting him on any more games is really, really funny to watch. First of all, because Matt Duchene did an interview this morning on one of the Nashville radio stations where he essentially, the context of it was, he didn't just get caught on a hot mic saying it. He was actually explaining a call to the Nashville bench. And so it wasn't like he was trying to keep it secret. He literally was just telling them what he was doing. So the idea that it was like some big surprise is ridiculous. Like if you watch hockey at all, you know, you like everyone knows that's what they're doing. Like we all talk about it all the time. The other thing that was really funny was the number of reporters and websites who are like, Tim Peel got fired. It was like, no, it's very, very clearly says he's not being put on any more games. And if he was going to be fired, they would have said he was going to be fired. And there's a referees union and they would have been all over that. There was no chance he was getting fired. And I think later this afternoon, Bob McKenzie reported that he's essentially being put on early retirement. He's still getting his pension. He's still getting paid. It's like, he's essentially just, he's getting Jeff Skinner'd. He's getting paid to not work.
Because the thing is, he didn't actually do anything wrong with the way that the game works now. That's how it works. Like, and people have said this, this isn't like he didn't act outside the boundaries of what is normal in the game. Like that is how it's played. And honestly, I feel like watching 24/7 Road to the Winter Classic or whatever, I'm pretty sure that we've seen this before. Like on those things where guys are talking to each other, they're saying like, the way that the officials like deal with players is very much like this. Like this isn't I think it was more the idea that this was like controversial because it was like pulling the fabric back on something. Like, it's really not. I think what it's showing is that the way that hockey is officiated right now is in like a large, the kind of large, I guess, scope of it, there's problems with it because it's very much non-objective. It's very much like this, like, oh, I called a penalty on this guy, so I'll make it up. This guy's pissing me off. Like, we saw this with OJ and Burrows. Like, we saw this a decade ago and it's still the same. And I think I'm someone who's letter of the law. If it's in the rule book, you call it. It doesn't matter what time of the game it's in, you call it. If it happens, you call it. I think I was talking to Izzy about this earlier, and what he said is the problem with that is that if they're calling everything, they have to call everything, and there would be a penalty on basically every single fucking play because of the way that hockey's kind of played right now. And that becomes problematic.
Well, yeah, it is a problem of people knowing what they can get away with or knowing like where they can push the buttons and not get things called. And I mean, I don't really like see a huge problem with people just like skirting the boundaries, but it is a problem when it just is no longer objective at all. And clearly the officiating is not even like in the sense of every single sports fan just complaining about officiating, like it's legitimately bad officiating.
Well, that's like, this is what makes me crazy every time we have the playoffs. This idea that, oh, they won't call that in the playoffs, or like, that's not a playoff penalty. It's like, what the fuck? Why would you change the rules just for the playoffs? Like, it literally makes me insane. And I think about today, a reporter asked like John Tavares about it. And his thing was, oh, well, you wouldn't want to see like the final 2 minutes of the game, someone call a face-off violation penalty. And it's like, well, fucking take the face-off violation penalty out of the rule book if you think that it's that problematic.
I legitimately,
because it should be called. It doesn't matter if there's 2 minutes left in the game. Like, that's it makes
also that is like the one number one rule of that I don't understand about hockey.
I hate that rule.
I don't know why people get kicked out of face-offs. And at this point, I'm not even too afraid to ask. I just legitimately have tried to figure out and I still don't know why.
Just let them fight to the death. Like, fuck, who cares? I honestly don't care. It's like, really stupid. You need
to
stop
violence in hockey and also be like, actually just fight to the death. Who gives a shit?
Because, so in the NBA, they have like post-game press conferences, right? Mm-hmm. The officials. And then in the EPL, they have to do like a thing where they sit down and literally respond to every single call that they make in the game, and they have to judge their own call, and then they have to explain their thought process to why they made the call, for like free kicks, penalties, all those kind of things. I don't think NHL officials have to do that. I'm assuming they would get out of that with their union because they like work all the time. But it's interesting that we don't have that same level of kind of transparency, but also like self-reflection on that. Like, it's very much just like accountability. Yeah, it's very much like, okay, just next game. Officiating's complicated.
I did see a video of, I forget which team it was, but someone took a shot and it went off Tim Peel's like nuts and then passed Roberto Luongo.
It was Roberto Luongo who tweeted that.
Oh, was it?
Yes. Or no, he retweeted it. Yeah. He quote tweeted it and was like, guess who was in net? And it was him. But yeah. Someone shot the puck off of Tim Peel's nuts and it went in the net.
Two things about the NWHL, which is that, one, Montreal's getting a team, which that information was broken by friend of the pod, Marissa. And then also, just the Isabel Cup, tournament playoffs.
Yeah, it's happening.
Which is exciting.
It will be happening the day that this is released.
Yes.
Semifinals will be taking place. And then the finals happening on Saturday. And it's going to be on NBC. I'm assuming it's going to be on Sportsnet. I think that they had originally planned to broadcast on Sportsnet. We'll double check that. We're obviously cheering for the whale. Mal has to cheer for the whale because the Buttes aren't playing.
Maybe I'm just going to become a Whitecaps fan. I don't know.
Oh, how dare you?
They're my Midwestern brethren.
Yeah, but the cute whale with the smile.
Honestly, like, I watched Blackfish recently, so I'm kind of like not fucking with whales.
Oh my god. We just can't let Toronto or Boston win.
Oh no, absolutely not. So,
which I'm pretty sure they're playing each other in one of the semifinals, so one of them is guaranteed to be in the final. I'm like pretty sure.
Pain.
Should double check that, but anyway, that will be pain. So yeah, we are excited to watch that.
Yeah, that'll be on NBC.
Tune in, watch women's hockey, support it.
Oh my god. How did you miss this?
Okay.
TikTok Sam, girl.
Go off.
Okay. There was a girl on TikTok who was ranking teams by number of attractive hockey players that they had. And I think she had the Canucks in a dead last and was like, there are zero attractive people on the team, which is
okay. How dare. Has she not seen Zach McEwen?
Yeah. Or like Brock Besser.
Yeah. What the fuck?
She also had the Isles, I think, at number 27, and the players that she listed as attractive
isn't on there, like, Captain, did not. Like, Anders Lee?
Yeah. But she also didn't list Matt Barzal as attractive.
What the fuck?
Attractiveness is, like, a very much, it is, like, a personal, like, preference situation, but also there is a situation where you can be objectively wrong. Like, and you are objectively wrong if you look at Brock Besser and you're like, this man is very handsome.
And then wait, today,
where is this tweet?
Oh, it's all over hockey Twitter.
Wait, is but this like, the who, same? Is this the same girl that ranked how hot the captains were? Do you remember that?
So, maybe.
Do you remember that tweet? Remember. Was ranking the NHL teams by how hot their captains were?
I do know she has a spreadsheet, and she had the Blackhawks ranked higher than the Winnipeg Jets because she said that. Well, I think she indicated that she thought Patrick was attractive. I actually couldn't say that with a straight face.
She
also didn't include Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Also, like, Blake Wheeler is like a dump.
No. Like, as soon as you qualify Patrick Kane as being quote unquote attractive, that delegitimizes every single aspect of the rest of your analysis.
Thank you.
Goodbye. You're done. No.
Hockey fans on TikTok are like a lot to handle.
Discuss,
like, as we all know that Jack Hughes, I have TikTok not checked in on Jack Hughes TikTok girl recently. Also, my favorite thing about Jack Hughes TikTok girl, other than like her entire existence, is that she's a Rangers fan.
Oh my fucking god.
Like, she's not like originally a Devils fan.
Oh my god, that's so good.
That's very funny. No, I did not see any of this, and I'm very happy I did not see
any of this. If you just poke around the internet, people are really up in arms about everything she is saying, which is like, I respect her commitment to starting discussion. I don't know, like, also why people are so offended that like her opinions are just wrong.
Oh no, I'm not offended. Like, you can, it's hilarious.
I think that, like, I do appreciate that she's making these statements with like as much authority as she feels like it, and people are viewing it as if.
Who does she think is the most attractive team?
I don't think she's gotten there yet.
Oh, this is like
the first one is on this Avs.
Okay, the Avs are objectively the most attractive team.
20 verified hobbies.
I don't know. Okay, I feel like we need to make our own argument on this.
The Avs, isn't it?
We can just start a new Instagram series of the broadcast ranking.
No, that's actually really funny. We absolutely should.
Oh my god, the men will be so mad at us. It'll be so good.
We have Holtby now. We shouldn't be ranked last.
We have Holtby, Zach McEwen, Brock Besser.
Okay, we need to finish
recording
this episode, and then we can actually go into this, and I will legitimately make a list.
Okay. It's at Great Job Meredith 4 on TikTok.
Let's talk about Colton Tubert, because this is so fucking funny.
Oh my god.
Okay, so I think it started with...
I literally don't know what happened.
What instigated it was, shout out to our friends, Hockey Fans for Change, Gabby and Ashley. In this story, it's mainly Gabby. Someone messaged them to point out that Colton Tubert had been hired by some organization in Washington State. I think in Bellingham, maybe, which is very funny, to be involved in kids hockey, youth hockey, and had pointed out this was problematic considering Colton Tubert has said some weird stuff in the past. There's specifically a time where he kind of had like a weird slurish thing against PK Subban. I haven't actually seen what he said. Can
you please elaborate on slurish? I feel like you
I didn't see what he actually said, but Gabby indicated it that it was.
He once referred in a tweet to Brendan Gallagher, he referred to PK Subban as Monday, which is historically been considered a slur.
Ah, gotcha.
Thank you.
And then over the past whatever year, I don't know, has been liking like Ben Shapiro shit and other of that brethren posts, just like problematic right-wingy kind of crazy stuff. And so she wrote an email to that organization pointing this out and just bringing it up and saying, would love to create dialogue. I guess that he went back and like deleted all the retweets or likes or whatever, like unliked them. And so she said, that's great, but we'd like to have a dialogue to know that this is actually like concrete change essentially. And then this was replied, the email was replied to with a cease and desist letter sent on behalf of Colton Tubert from his lawyer, apparently. And then people dug into it and realized he took a cease and desist template from Pinterest and filled in the information, which makes sense because when you read it, it doesn't make sense. And he uses very weird stuff to indicate the things that she's been apparently, I don't know,
libeling
him for. Like, what was the one? BIPOC something?
BIPOC weird. Racism.
BIPOC racism.
Wait, I gotta redo this list because this letter is incredible. Like, it's actually, it's a work of art.
It's literally straight from Pinterest. Like, someone Googled cease and desist letter template, and it was the first thing that came up.
Yeah, it's the first image returned when you Google. It says, the defamatory statements include but are not limited to the following: racist, bigotry, anti-Semitic, white supremacist / nationalist, staunchly libertarian, which is the best one, ignorant to public health, BIPOC racism, Monday accusations. Apparently those are statements and not just random phrases that Colton Tubert picked out of the air. But this letter is incredible. Like, you know, generally when clients retain you to insist that someone cease and desist from defaming you, they definitely don't want it on your firm letterhead and they definitely don't want you to sign it because that's obviously the most persuasive thing you can do when you're a lawyer is to use none of the powers of your offices to intimidate anyone. This letter is truly glorious. I can't believe he acted like, what did he think was going to happen? I also know I've had people DM me. She is not the only person who he sent this letter to. I think that after seeing these tweets, he maybe did a little Google searching and realized that other people had written articles about the comments he made about PK Subban. And he has apparently contacted those people as well to tell them that they are also liable for defaming him. And it's just, it's truly incredible. It's like, it's my favorite thing on Twitter is when people are like, this is slander. To be clear, literally nothing on Twitter is slander because slander is oral statements. So people need to stop saying that. If you really want to be safe, just say defamation. Please stop saying slander. It's driving me crazy.
So I have an important question, which is it libel when Vanessa claims that you're 100 years old?
I could probably make the argument, but, you know, generally a critical part of suing someone is that you have to be able to prove damage to you. And I'm not sure what, like, monetary damage I could prove there.
So emotional.
Yeah, that's true. Pain and suffering.
I often say no slander on the TL, and now it's going to bug me every time I say that, knowing that that doesn't make sense.
I say no Tyler Mott slander all the time because I think it's funny. Because it doesn't sound the same if you say libel.
Yeah.
It's totally fine if you're saying like no slander on the timeline, like a phrase, and because you're like,
because you're not saying it's like a legal thing. Yeah.
But when people are like getting mad, like somebody jumped into my replies about Paul Bissonnette and was like, this is slander. Like, if you're going to come in and say it's slander, like literally it's a cause of action and slander, then no, I don't accept that. Actually drives me crazy.
Yeah, that's very fair. Yeah.
How do you define libel?
It's really funny.
What?
How do you define libel and defamation?
So
this is not legal advice.
I think people would like to know.
No, I can tell you what it is. So libel and slander are both technically defamation. Like, you can just call it defamation. It's just that slander is oral and libel is written. If it's written, whoever is suing the plaintiff generally has to establish that the statement that was made was defamatory. So in the eyes of a reasonable person, it would lower the person's reputation or character. You have to prove that the words were published. So on Twitter, that's usually pretty easy. And you have to prove that the words, in fact, specifically referred to the plaintiff. So that's like, that's the first step of the test. But then there's, once the plaintiff proves that, the defendant gets to establish defenses. Like, it's not like, oh, it's defamatory and so I win. Like, you act, the defenses include truth. So if it's a true statement, it's not defamatory. Which in this case, I think she's got a pretty decent argument. For press, like, it's super important for the press to be able to make comments. So there's a defense called fair comment. So as long as something is clearly opinion, that's also a defense. And there's like a bunch of other defenses like privilege and other more complicated ones that no one actually needs to know about. But
okay, I have another question. This is for this is intro to law, like not even 101, just like 001. So say that somebody on TikTok said that the Canucks were the least attractive team in the NHL. Would that be slander or would that be libel?
Libel.
Well, I'm saying that she said it.
Writing?
Is it digital?
But she wrote it out too. She typed it out. It's typed on her spreadsheet that she published.
It's both.
You just qualify.
We are going to break this. We are breaking law.
It would just be defamation. Like, you don't actually have to say one or the other.
Mm. If people are interested in more Sam talks about the law, you should go back and listen to our WAG podcast about Wagatha Christie.
We talked about this already.
We did. We actually talked about this already.
But no, it's good to talk about again. And people should definitely listen to that episode because it was a lot of fun. And yeah, it was very good.
Oh my God, he blocked me.
Yeah, I know. That's fucking hilarious. He's from White Rock. Like, I always forget he's from White Rock.
I didn't tag him. I just made fun of him for filling in a template form off the internet and pretending to be a lawyer. And then I might have said he was embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
Like, yeah, it's factually embarrassing. And also calling him embarrassing is like not nearly as bad as anything any one of us gets sent on a daily basis. So I love that he blocked me.
It's really insane. How wild is it that we now have up to double digits of people who've created fake accounts just to tell us how much they hate us? We're up to double digits.
I assumed we hit double digits a long time ago.
And for our name X amount of players, Vanessa is here now. We said earlier that she wasn't here, but she's here. Name player that would send you a cease and desist letter. My answer is that I believe the Hughes children probably should send me a cease and desist letter for defamatory statements about the amount of weed that Quinn Hughes smokes. And also just like making fun of Jack for anything he does.
Also hitting on their mom.
Vanessa.
Tony D'Angelo would literally send you a cease and desist letter.
First of all, it would be Jake Virtanen for you.
I was going to say that.
That's fine.
It might be Stefan. It would be Jake. It would be Stefan.
It's more likely.
No, Stefan would fucking Microsoft Paint that shit for Jake and send it to you. He would just like go on Microsoft.
Oh, was it send me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. It'd be Jake. And Stefan.
I don't know if I have one. I did have a nightmare that you guys bought me a cameo from him for my birthday, and I literally like freaked the fuck out when I woke up. And I texted Mal and I was like, do not ever do that to me. Ever.
When's your birthday?
May. Nope. Shut up, Mal. Shut your mouth.
It's okay. I could just do it now.
And I will literally fucking fight you all. I'm not kidding. I will get extremely violent about this.
You have to have like done some cyberbullying.
Oh, like, yeah, I don't know. Probably like fucking Brennan Leipzig or something. Oh, yeah. I'm just mean to them, really. Or I don't know, someone. No, I honestly can't think of anyone. Austin Matthews. Sam?
There are so many possibilities. Probably the person I'm most consistently mean about is also Jake.
Troy's cameo is for charity.
Maybe Jim Benning. Maybe Jim Benning.
Do not do this to me. I shouldn't have said anything. It was a literal nightmare. Nothing makes me more uncomfortable.
For charity.
I know. No.
It's only no. $50.
No. Oh.
Only
$50. Violence.
All right. So, as we have decided that it's probably Jake, via Stefan, and Ben. Okay. Anyway, it's probably Jake for everyone. And, we will see you next week. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. You can find us at Broadcast Pod everywhere on the internet. Goodbye. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.